شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, the last few weeks or the last month has been a very eventful month, a very painful month for the Muslim Ummah. They say that we should act locally but think globally. We are part of one ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. The Quran Pak speaks about the fact that this is one ummah. The Quran Pak also says that the believers are one brotherhood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in one hadith that this ummah is like one body. That if one part of this body is in difficulty or in pain or discomfort, the entire body feels that discomfort. If the head is in discomfort, the entire body is in discomfort. If the eye is in discomfort, the entire body is in discomfort. Like that, this ummah is one body. And this ummah is very troubled at the moment. Not just with recent events which have been highlighted considerably, especially the happenings in Aleppo or in Halab, as it's called in Arabic, Halab in Syria. But this has been the focus recently or currently, what is happening in Aleppo. But this is just one part of the problem. Rather, globally, if we want to understand, globally there is a problem. If we look at the last 100 years of Muslim history, from the time we have been born, almost every one of us, and perhaps till the time most of us will leave this world, Islam has been under subjugation. Islam has been under attack. And this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time immemorial, that the fight between haq and batil continues. The fight between truth and falsehood will continue. And it will continue to the day of Qiyamah. And inshallah, truth and haq will always triumph and smash falsehood. If we look at some of the Muslims, while our focus is on Aleppo in Syria, let us look at other places which we have forgotten sometimes and which are not in the limelight. In the last few years, particularly in the last century or so, if we look at the land of Palestine, while it's very dear to our heart because of the sacred Masjid of Al-Aqsa, which is located here, in this blessed land. But it is under kuffar dominion and control, not in the last few years, but in reality for the last 100 years. 2017 heralds one century of the loss of Palestine to British occupation. If we look at the land of Iraq, it has been decimated, such a prosperous land, where great ulama were born, where great fuqaha were born. The great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was born and passed away in Baghdad in Iraq. That land has been destroyed in the last few decades. If we look at the land of Kashmir, it seems to have been forgotten that since 1947, when the partition of India and Pakistan took place and the British left the shores of the Indo-Pak subcontinent. From that time till today, it's under control and dominion, and there is mass oppression of Muslims there. But it's not even brought to the fore. It seems to have been obliterated and forgotten. If we look at the land, different Muslim lands, in the most recent past, if we look, the land of Libya, which is in Africa, North Africa, a majority Muslim Sunni country which has been utterly destroyed politically, where there is no leadership, political leadership. A country which was stable, a country which had the highest per capita income in Africa, a country which is most fertile, had a superb irrigation system, a country which was a beacon of light for the Muslim Ummah, that country has been destroyed by external forces, the enemies of Allah and the enemies of the Ummah and the enemies of the Muslims. Today, that country is in total turmoil. Like this, they have, whether the leaders were good or not good, that's not the issue. But the leaders of the Muslim countries have been killed like animals. If we look at Iraq, it was the same thing. Saddam Hussein was killed. If we look at Libya, it's the same thing. In front of the world to view, these people were killed. If we look at the land of Kosovo, and we should never say Kosovo, because that is what the Serbs, Christian Serbs, want us to call it. It's Kosovo, a land which contains so many Muslims, where Muslim conquest had taken place, which had so many masajids. In 1995, hundreds, thousands of Muslims were massacred, were butchered in the land of Bosnia and the land of Kosovo. If we look at Chechnya, the Caucasus, Shishan, this is the same story. We look at Somalia, this is the same story. We look at Burma, a country which has still a huge problem with the Rohingya Muslims, which are not even given the rights of animals, which are homeless, citizenless people, and the vast majority of them are Muslim people. No country, no Muslim country wants them either. But this is the fate of the Muslim Ummah, just highlighting different parts of the Muslim world. If we look at the land of Egypt, a country which was, inverted commas, which a democratically elected government came into place with Hafiz Mohamed Morsi, and how that government was replaced, how a coup took place in that country, and today we can see the turmoil in the country of Egypt. So these are the different scenarios which I have just mentioned in brief, some of the scenarios in the various Muslim lands, the turmoil that is taking place. Any Muslim with a vestige of Iman, with a flicker of Iman in his heart, will feel the pain of the Ummah. The pain of the Ummah, if it's not felt within us, and if we do not speak about it, then really it is very sad indeed. And recently the difficulty and the siege of the fall of Aleppo or Halab has been brought to the fore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقُدِمُونَ. For every nation there's an appointed time. And when that appointed time is up, then at that time, nobody can bring it forward or nobody can even delay that appointed time. So this is from time immemorial that when the time of a nation is up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace, will bring that to an end. And it has happened so many times. Masjid al-Aqsa, while we know it's under occupation, Israeli occupation, but it has been destroyed 7 times in history. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when you return to transgression, we will return our punishment also. So it has been destroyed in the past. And it seems that the Israelis are hell-bent on demolishing the structure of Masjid al-Aqsa. If we look at the land of Aleppo itself, this is the largest city in the land of Syria. And present-day Syria, as we understand, is not the actual Sham, which is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. The land of Sham, the Mubarak, blessed land of Sham, incorporates present-day Syria. It incorporates Palestine, it incorporates Lebanon, it incorporates Jordan and parts of southern Turkey as well. All this is the land of Sham, the blessed land of Sham. It is also the Ardul Mahshar. It is the land where man will be resurrected again on the day of Qiyamah. And it is such a land that 100,000 Sahaba Ikiram, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, have visited, have stood on the land of Sham, including our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who went on to Mi'raj in the land of Sham. From the Sahaba of Badr, 100 Sahaba of Badr, over 100 Sahaba of Badr have set eyes on the land of Sham. We can understand how blessed this land is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua for the people of Yemen and for the people of Sham. Allahumma barik lana fi Yamanina, Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina. Oh Allah, give blessings to our Yemen and give blessings to our Sham, to our Syria. So many Sahaba kiram are buried in the lands of Sham. So many great ulama kiram are buried in the lands of Sham. And this city in particular, Halab, why it was a very strategic city, which fell, unfortunately, and this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that fight between Haqq and Batil that will take place, that sometimes we will win, sometimes we will lose as well. Halab is the largest city in Syria, with a civilization of approximately 5,000 to 6,000 years. It was a strategic business city. And apart from that, a lot of knowledge has come out from the city, especially the Hanafi ulama. Many of them emanated from the city of Aleppo or Halab. This city was prosperous, and one of the landmarks of this city was the great Umayyad Masjid, a 14th century masjid which has now been destroyed. Not only has Halab fallen, but the history of the Muslim Ummah has been destroyed in the process as well. And this city of Halab had a population of 6 million people, 6 million. And the majority population of Syria, as we know it today, is 90% Sunni. There has been a demographic change taking place in the land of Syria, and particularly in Aleppo itself, where the Sunnis have been driven out, and Shias, or the Rawafid, are being installed in this particular, to change the demographics of these cities of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is something that we are overlooking. The demographics are changing, unfortunately. Currently, as we understand, the refugees, Aleppo had a population of 6 million. Prior to its fall, that population had been reduced to approximately 300,000 people. 6 million to 300,000. And what actually happened in this Syrian conflict? It was an uprising for the sake of truth, to fight oppression, while the winds of change started taking place in Tunisia, with the Arab Spring in Tunisia, and it started moving into Egypt and other countries. It also reached the shores of Sham and Syria. The youth in particular, in this country of Syria, they decided, while the Arab Spring was blowing its winds of change, they decided to uprise against the government, the Ba'athist, Alawite, Shia, Kafir government of Syria, of Bashar Assad. And this rebellion was crushed, very, very forcefully crushed. And these youth, many of them were killed. Some of them were maimed. Some of them were butchered to such an extent that when their bodies were returned, even their families could not recognize those corpses. So this is the state. Subsequently, the uprising caught in the land of Sham, and many of us are au fait and aware of history, and from 2011, this civil war has been taking place in the land of Sham. It is not over. It is because the forces of Haqq will continue. Al-jihadu madin ila yawm al-qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that jihad will continue till the day of qiyamah. And inshallah, there'll always be in this ummah a group that will fight for Haqq, and nobody will be able to oppose them, inshallah. But while we feel this pain as what has happened, and currently most of the people of Sham or Aleppo have now been brought into a place called Idlib, a province in Sham, and they are concentrated in Idlib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. They are still not under Syrian control. They are living in refugee camps. Thousands of people are living in various camps. We have seen them. We have seen these camps. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from any Russian and any Iranian and any Syrian onslaught, inshallah. Because these are the three countries or the three governments which have been unrelenting in the attack of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. mainly the Syrian government, the Russian government, and the Iranian government as well. We feel this pain of what has happened, but let us look into history, that what has happened currently, far worse has happened previously. In Baghdad, in the year 1218, Genghis Khan, or Genghis Khan, whichever way you want to pronounce it, the Mongol armies, marauding Mongol armies, they went through Central Asia, and they destroyed anything in their pathway. They never reached Baghdad, that great city of Baghdad. At that time, there was no city in the world unparalleled to Baghdad in terms of learning, in terms of academic achievements, scientific achievements. In every sphere of life, there was no city in the world like Baghdad. Even though Genghis Khan did not invade Baghdad, but he paved the way for his destruction by his grandson, Halaku Khan, in the year 1258. And in the year 1258, when he entered Baghdad, he sacked Baghdad. He brought it to the scorched earth policy, where there was nothing left there. Everything in Baghdad was destroyed. And in this Syrian conflict that we are speaking about, approximately 250,000 people have lost their lives, Syrians. In that particular attack of the Muslim Ummah, 1.6 million Muslims were butchered to death. 1.6 million Muslims were killed in the city of Baghdad. So this is our sad history. There's not enough time to go into different aspects of the Mongol invasion, and subsequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that after much effort on the Muslim Ummah, the Mongol army was rooted at Ain Jalut. It was rooted here, and there was a turnaround. And 40 years after the sacking of Baghdad by Halaku Khan, the grandson of Genghis Khan, his grandson accepted Islam. And that brought about the turnaround in the Ummah once again. So these turnarounds are going to come. But in this few minutes that we have, what we need to do, what we need to do as a Ummah, we are sitting far away from Syria. We are sitting far from Baghdad, far from Masjid al-Aqsa. What we need to do here in South Africa? Firstly, we need to make our islah. We need to make ruju' ila Allah. We need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand that what has happened in all the countries that I've mentioned at the beginning can happen to us here. The difficulty that has visited the Ummah in different parts of the world can visit us here. And it has happened to prosperous minorities like us. Previously, in Burma, in the 1960s in Burma, which was a very prosperous country, the Muslims were a minority there. The famous Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi, rahimahumullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, Maulana Alimiya, he happened to visit Burma at the invitation of the Muslims in Burma, and particularly it was Indian Muslims who were there. And he saw the prosperity of the Burmese Muslims. And we may have heard this many a time. And his bayan is available on the internet as well. And the masjid where he gave this talk is still standing there today. And when he saw the Muslims of Burma and their prosperity, being a minority, he mentioned to them quite clearly that I fear for you. And when I'm a student of history. And when I look into history, I fear that history may repeat itself regarding you. And it wasn't even a year when history repeated itself and the Muslims of Burma had to flee with the clothes on their backs. Muslim businessmen who had rooms of cash set their cash alight so that the Burmese army, when it was nationalized, overnight the government changed to avoid the government getting hold of their tons of money. They set light to their own money. Many a person had to leave Burma with the clothes on their back. There are poignant lessons for us also, as a Muslim minority in this country, that we need to take cognizance of where we are as a minority in this country. We as a Ummah, how are we focusing? What are our plans? What are our aims? What are our objectives living in this country where we are a minority? The first thing we have to do is we have to make ruju' ila Allah. We have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to come into the total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, if we come into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we refocus on our intention for being here. Most of us, our forefathers, were migrants to this country. We made hijrah to this country. We have to focus and we have to make our intention that we have to establish the deen of Allah in this entire country. We have to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this entire country, insha'Allah. And in this way, if we focus ourselves and we also share what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the various points, time is up, I can't go into it, but primarily we have to come back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will establish us on this earth. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this earth, inherits to this earth to whom He wishes, to whom He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.